The world's largest agricultural and chemical companies are getting bigger. The mergers and acquisitions of Monsanto, Syngenta, DuPont, Dow, and others have created headlines in recent years as big companies have been purchased or partnered up. But what about smaller, independent input suppliers? Are they still relevant? Where do they fit in this big picture? And what can farmers expect from them once this wave of M&A activity is complete? For some insights, we're joined by Garrett Stoger from Illinois-based Verdant Partners.
Good morning, Bernard. I appreciate this opportunity. I'm a big fan of the work that Real Agriculture does in this space, and I look forward to today's conversation.
Awesome. It's great to have you. Hey, before we tackle the topic, hey, tell us a little bit about Verdant Partners.
Sure. Verdant Partners is a middle market transaction advisory firm focused exclusively on agribusiness companies. We specialize working with crop input suppliers, fresh produce, and downstream milling companies, and helping them work through both buy-side and sell-side transactions. And we also work both on behalf of some of the world's larger companies, as well as specialize in family and independent companies. And we've been doing this for about 20 years now, and we've represented a few hundred clients in this greater agribusiness space.
Well, that's a good topic for this conversation. Hey, it's been a busy 3 years for big ag companies. From your perspective, how has the landscape changed, and what's been driving all the high-stakes activity?
Yeah, well, it's certainly the landscape certainly has changed, Bernard. And one of the things that it's if you look back even 3 years ago to today, it's hard to believe that we've gotten here. In the past decade or so, farmers have experienced some of the best times they ever have. Commodity prices are large in part to thank for that, as well as some good crop yields and so on. But largely, this commodity price uptick gave rise that everyone had an opportunity in agriculture to make money. I mean, simply put, there was just enough money to go around that that everyone was profitable. And as these higher commodity prices have somewhat softened relative to historical, you know, the last 10 years, we're sort of at the low point now in some of those commodity prices. Farm level profitability is much lower. And farmers are starting to rationalize decisions and look to options that are maximizing that net profit to their farm, not necessarily buying the biggest and the best of everything. And if you think about what a crop input supplier does and what they're looking to accomplish, they're looking to move farmers up the scale in terms of top line revenue and give them the greatest chance to make money on their farm. And they have made significant investments in the past decade as well to help deliver incremental gains in yield and crop protection performance and so forth. But now they were faced with that weakened profitability at the farm gate, and their customers are saying, we need lower cost options. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the R&D spends and all the different outsources of money is beginning to put a lot of stress on those companies. And so, in turn, I think they had to begin questioning, what do we do about this, and how do we actually fix this problem? And being publicly traded companies like the Big Six are, they are at the mercy, if you will, of their shareholders in terms of them desiring better returns, better ROI on the investment. And in that case, they looked to cost-cutting measures, and that's really what drove a lot of these mergers was increased efficiency. When Monsanto first looked at Syngenta, they saw that as sort of a leveraging seed, which they're world class in, with a much more robust crop protection business, which is what Syngenta had at the time. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, 2.5 years ago when that sort of started, and here we are today. And it's a very different landscape, as you say. And I think that by and large, it's driven though because these companies were looking for ways to either reinvent themselves or considerably cut costs and, you know, spend 75 cents on the dollar, if you will, on R&D and still get the same marginal return on the bottom line.
Yeah. Now, what's your sense of how farmers view, you know, this consolidation and I guess the role of independence going forward?
Yeah, I think, you know, by and large, farmers don't really like the idea of consolidation. Farmers don't like it for two primary reasons. One is they view it as an increased likelihood that they're going to have fewer choices at the farm level have more, it'll be less diversity in seed products, fewer choices in terms of crop protection and so forth. So that's one side, is just fewer options. But the other side of that coin, too, is also less competition. So all of a sudden, you've got, the big six that are competing for market share in these various spaces, down to maybe, I guess, the big four now. And what does that look like? And how much competition will remain in the marketplace to sort of keep these suppliers of crop inputs honest? So I think, by and large, growers always tend to think that consolidation is going to be bad for them, or at the very least, it'll be neutral, but they just as soon there be more companies around. I think with independent companies, then, this is a point where we have a story to tell if you're an independent company, and certainly you don't have to involve yourself in this idea of rationalizing cost-cutting measures. You can just simply point to the fact that you're an independent company. We don't have shareholders that sort of dictate and drive the direction of our business, and we're here for the long haul. And that's a story that really probably resonates pretty well with farmers who are largely independent themselves.
Now, you and I met last month at CNM Seeds, their industry day up in Ontario. They're an independent seed company. What's the opportunity for small independent seed companies, for example?
Sure. I think that's really one of the key takeaways here is if you're an independent seed company and or just crop input supplier of any kind, again, you've got a lot of contemplated and pending mergers and acquisitions in the market at the very high level. And, typically the relationships, especially the ones that independent seed companies have, are very deeply rooted with the farmer. And as I said, farmers being independent themselves, they can relate to that. So I think, I can tell you for certain, as someone who manages transactions for a living, the transaction doesn't end the day of closing. And to many, it's just the beginning because there is going to be a period of post-merger integration or post-acquisition integration that takes years, not even months, to complete. And so there's going to be a lot of busy work going on. And you could argue that busy work, behind the scenes from an internal company standpoint, is going to limit the amount of customer focus by these large companies, and that lack of customer focus may create some opportunities for independent companies. So I would say, for the independents, they've got a period here in these next sort of 12 to 24 months to capitalize on that and to really get closer and form closer relationships. But now, having said that, of course, you've got the balance of a lot of these seed companies are dependent upon those large multinational companies, of course, for the supply chain. Those are the very products that they're pulling out of the breeding programs. The very crop chemicals they're selling come from these companies. So it's really a retailer relationship-driven opportunity. At the end of the day, the products are still largely coming out of the larger companies. So that in itself is where you have the idea of innovation and outsourcing products. And so from an innovative standpoint, you have large companies typically get the credit for innovation, but actually the innovation more times than not occurs at the small level. These are small laboratories and small university studies and so forth that find and create new innovative technology that then is either acquired or licensed or otherwise brought into the multinationals to develop it, to go through the regulatory obstacles, to go through the commercialization process. And that takes time and money that typically the independents can't afford to do on their own. So the multinationals get a lot of credit for that innovation, but a lot of times that starts at the smaller level. But when it does, and when that innovation comes full scale and is commercialized, that's when the out-licensing, which is the backside of this, then is, of course, very important. So for independent companies, you have to have a continuous pipeline of products. Most independent companies don't have their own, you know, intellectual property at the very basic germplasm level of seed or sort of formulation level of crop protection, they're dependent on getting those sources of intellectual property out-licensed from a larger firm who has the sort of financial wherewithal to do that. So I think that's sort of the relationship. This is something that is mutually, there's a mutual requirement for both parties to get along and sort of be harmonious in a sense going to market in the coming years. So I don't think that the independents can look at this as something that they can do on their own.
Tell me, last question for you, and that's really, what advice do you have for small independents? You know, it's fair to say that the big companies, as you mentioned, are suffering some distractions as the deals get sorted out. In the meantime, you know, what should independent companies be focused on, and what should farmers be looking for from these companies, you know, in this transition?
I would say that first and foremost, the independent company should continue to tell that story, to tell the story that maybe it's, you know, multi-generation business, maybe it's a more recent startup of sorts, and it was a couple companies or a couple, producers came together and started a new brand of seed or something of that nature. Tell that story. It resonates. There's so much that can be said and so much truth in the fact that agriculture is a relationships-driven business. And so that would be, I guess, my number one, recommendation to the independent companies is leverage that now more than ever.